must know. Green sleeves. Even Donald Swan knows it. As a matter of fact, he doesn't like it very much. He says it always reminds him of an afternoon he spent in Christchurch Meadow. It was Swan Upping Sunday. It's rather interesting how Greensleeves came to be written. I'll tell you about it. 1546 was a very bad year for the theatre. Gorboduc was doing poor business at the Globe, and Gamma Girton was still giving everyone the needle. But apart from a revival of Everyman, it's about all there was on, really. I mean, not even Salad Days and the Boyfriend, if you can imagine. Dramatists just seemed to stop writing. Shakespeare hadn't even started, of course. Beaumont had quarreled with Fletcher, joint tenants. And Thomas Dekker had amalgamated with HMV. And the Master of the King's Revels was getting really rather worried because he had to have a new revel on in time for Candlemas. The court had adopted a policy of presenting new plays. So he sent for a playwright friend of his, and he said, "Look, kid, how..." That was his name. He said, "How about writing me another Spanish tragedy or something?" Kid said, "Well, it's not easy, you know. I mean, all the best plots have been used already, eh? Second volume of Holinshed's not out yet. Public's only really interested in bear baiting. In any case, they don't give a fig for the theatre." Very angry young man he was. Anyway, the Master of the King's Revel said, "Well, it must be everything for something. Look, I know. Why don't you rewrite Ralph Royster Doyster as a musical? Anything to stop it being done straight." Kit thought this was really rather a splendid idea, and he rushed off and he got going on the book straight away. He got Skelton in to do the lyrics, actually, John Skelton. First-class job, dozens of really strong point numbers. Humpty Dumpty, that was one of his. Not so. But they could neither of them think of a way of ending the first half of this musical, which is fantastically difficult. I mean, as Skelton said, he was quite right. For a first half closer, that's what they call it, you must have a hit, a palpable hit. Well, they thought of having Summeries a-coming in, hotting it up as a galliard. Of course, that had been done. Skelton said, if only we could get hold of, well, say, another Agincourt song. Now, there was a song for you. They were still singing it at the end of the Hundred Years' War. And with cleaned up words, it sold 5,000 copies. Smaller populations, are you? He said, "No, they're just not writing them like that anymore." Kit said, "Well, we don't know, do we? I mean, somebody may be somewhere in some squalid garret. How do we find out?" "I know. Let's run a festival. A festival of popular British playing songs. And get everybody to send their original songs into the Old Bankside," which is what they did. And thousands of songs arrived. They read them through, they played them over. It wasn't a thing. Nothing you could possibly close anything with. So they were quite in despair, the two of them. They just didn't know what to do. And just at that moment, there came a knock at the stage door. And a scroll arrived by a special messenger. Kid opened it up and it said at the top, "Green sleeves." So he sat back to listen while Skelton tried it over on the virginals. And after listening for a bit, Kid said, "Yes, all right, enough, I thank you, Master John. Verily," he said, "verily, tis a charming roundelay, but I doubt me if it is commercial." Who wrote this anyway? And a voice from the back of the auditorium shouted out, "We did." So of course they both looked out and they could just make out a figure standing in the aisle, and they said, "Who are you?" And the figure said, I think this is the interesting part, the figure said, We are Henry the Eighth. We are. So then of course they realized that green sleeves was exactly what they wanted. They put it in the show, and under the title of Don't Look, My Ladies of 1547, it ran for years. As you'd expect, with royalty taking an interest. I mean, look what it did for Craggs. Anyway, that is why, to this very day, in every period play you go to see, it's set in 1300 up to 1715, for incidental music, Greensleeve says, always play. And the royalties go to royalty.